And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, and you can listen when and where you wish. Well, this was pretty disturbing yesterday. You and I played a couple of audio cuts earlier on the show, but we really haven't played what I believe is the introduction from... we played a little bit of him, but we didn't play the full introduction of Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews at the Capitol Hill testimony on the withdrawal from Afghanistan and particularly the airport suicide bombing and what happened. And this Marine was actually injured in the bombing, and he talks about that they believe that they had that everything fit what was a suicide bomber, and they wanted to take him out. Now, I don't know if he stated that they believed he was a suicide bomber who blew himself up at that point, but we're going to play what he had to say here yesterday, and you can tell he's very, very, he just said, as basically across the board, nobody was in charge. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. It was basically just pure chaos there, that they really didn't get instruction from the military. Who would get it from whom? The Pentagon, who would get it from whom? The State Department, who would get it from whom? The president. Yeah. And what a cluster it was. And here's part of what he had to say yesterday.
Hundreds of people came in waves surging through the gate multiple times, physically fighting us. Living out of our tower, we conducted 24/7 operations at the gate. The next 7 days were surreal. Nothing prepared us for the ground experience we were about to encounter. It was chaos, but we worked together to figure out the next best steps. Tens of thousands of people descended upon Abbey Gate. We were looking for anyone with a blue passport, first and foremost. People were suffering from extreme malnutrition, dehydration, heat casualties, and infants were dying. Afghans were brutalized and tortured by the Taliban, flocked to us pleading for help. Some Afghans turned away from Hekaya, tried to kill themselves on the razor wire in front of us that we used as a deterrent. They thought this was merciful compared to the Taliban torture that they faced. Countless Afghans were murdered by the Taliban 155 yards in front of our position, day and night. With only shipping containers between us, the Taliban would routinely murder people under our observation at their checkpoint. We communicated the atrocities to our chain of command and intel assets, but nothing came of it. Department of State staff in Hekaya would completely shut down processing Afghans every evening and into the morning, leaving ground forces with a nightmare. They did not work in reasonable rotations and very much presented an unwillingness to work in other situations as well. No matter our health or condition, the Marines stood watch and engaged in disorderly and dangerous crowds. State was not prepared to be in Hekaya. In fact, State would not want to deal with the Afghans unable to be processed, weakening the security of the perimeter. State would take us away from our mission to walk Afghans out to meet the fate of the Taliban, condemning them to death. Over the communication network, we passed that there was a potential threat and an IED attack imminent. This was as serious as it could get. I requested engagement authority while my team leader was ready on the M110 semi-automatic sniper system. The response, leadership did not have the engagement authority for us. Do not engage. I requested for the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Whited, to come to the tower to see what we did. While we waited for him, psychological operations individuals came to our tower immediately and confirmed the suspect met the suicide bomber description. He eventually arrived and we showed him our evidence, the photos we had of the two men. We reassured him of the ease of fire on the suicide bomber. Pointedly, we asked him for engagement authority and permission. We asked him if we could shoot. Our battalion commander said, and I quote, "I don't know," end quote. Myself and my team leader asked very harshly, "Well, who does? Because this is your responsibility, sir." He again replied he did not know but would find out. We received no update and never got our answer. Eventually, the individual disappeared. To this day, we believe he was a suicide bomber. We made everyone on the ground aware. Operations had briefly halted but then started again. Plain and simple, we were ignored. Our expertise was disregarded. No one was held accountable for our safety. About 1730, Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover, friend and mentor. Came to get me from the tower to go help find an Afghan interpreter in the crowd. We found the interpreter and his brother, born with American passports. They told us of five family members still in the canal. I stayed there waiting for the family members standing against a 2-foot canal wall. 10 minutes passed. Then a flash and a massive wave of pressure. I'm thrown 12 feet onto the ground, but instantly knew what had happened. I opened my eyes to Marines dead or unconscious lying around me. A crowd of hundreds immediately vanished in front of me, and my body was catastrophically wounded with 100 to 150 ball bearings now in it. Almost immediately, we started taking fire from the neighborhood, and I saw how injured I was with my right arm, completely shredded and unusable. I saw my lower abdomen soaked in blood. Crawled backwards 7 feet, roughly 7 feet, because I thought I was still in harm's way. My body was overwhelmed from the trauma of the blast. My abdomen had been ripped open. Every inch of my exposed body, except for my face, took ball bearings and shrapnel. I tried to get up but could not. Laying there for a few minutes, I started to lose consciousness when I heard Chaz, my team leader, screaming my name as he ran to me. His voice calling to me kept me awake. When he got to me, he dragged me to safety and immediately started triaging me, tying tourniquets on my limbs and doing anything he could to stop the bleeding and start plugging wounds with the help of the other Marines. I was awake through most of it, screaming, moaning, and cursing. I ask you to please ask me about getting shot at the tower in Abbey Gate and how no one wanted my report post-blast. Even NCIS and the FBI failed to interview me. The withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion. And there was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence. The 11 Marines, one sailor, and one soldier that were murdered that day have not been answered for. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
That is Marine Sergeant Tyler Vargas Andrews recalling the suicide bombing at the airport in Kabul in Afghanistan. And he wasn't the only military person there speaking about it, and everyone. I mean, we knew it. I mean, we knew what happened. We knew that, it was what happened there was an abomination. We knew that the president lied, number one, about what all the generals told him we had to do in Afghanistan. The whole thing was a lie based on a political commitment, not based on concern with American lives or American soldiers or Afghans that had American passports or even Americans. That took a while to get out of Afghanistan. It was simply, I'm doing this for politics. You know, we talk about politics, and we've said before, people, how ridiculous. Well, it was done for politics. There's good politics and there's bad politics. This was extremely bad politics. This was the politics of lying that helped to get 13 American servicemen and women killed.
And over again, it was demonstrated as to why we shouldn't pull all of our troops out of there. And Biden was intent on following through with something because he said so, and he was going to make it fit the narrative. He lied about what his top generals were saying. The general that was in charge left That should have been the tell for everybody at that point. Our allies were all asking questions. Biden was trying to get the, at that time, the president of Afghanistan to repeat the lies for him and saying things like, well, no, when we leave here, the Taliban won't be taking over. They won't be taken over. That's not going to happen. As if it's some kind of myth that's being circulated, some kind of conspiracy theory on social media. And then what happened inevitably in the days after the botched exit? He tells, I believe that was Stephanopoulos in the sit-down interview, and says, well, the Taliban was always going to take over.
It's not what you told us.
It's not what you said.
I want to play this short audio from Lieutenant Colonel retired David Scott, man who was also there.
This whole thing has been a gutting experience. I never imagined I would witness the kind of gross abandonment followed by career-preserving silence of senior leaders, military and civilian. As a result of the way that we've left Afghanistan, we're on the front end of a national security crisis as 27 violent extremist groups are now operating on former NATO security bases with Taliban top cover. And I think we're on the front end of a mental health tsunami as 73% of our Afghan war veterans say they feel betrayed by how this war ended. Calls to the VA hotline have spiked 81% in the first year since the Afghan withdrawal, and they keep coming.
Lieutenant, retired Lieutenant Colonel David Scott, man, it's the Democrats had no interest in really investigating the withdrawal from Afghanistan because they knew it would be bad news all the way around. And so this is something that, you know, we talk about. This is something that the Republicans have to prioritize and bring to the American people. And when we talk about COVID, the origins of COVID, amazing the way the Democratic Party just doesn't care about the origins of it. And think about it, 1 million people, more than were killed. About more than were killed where we are right now in the Civil War and World War II, killed by coronavirus that now the American government believes most likely came from a lab leak in China, that China has done everything to hide, and there is no fury from the president. There's no anger. There's no condemnation of the Chinese from the president. Nothing. And we were lied to by those in charge in the CDC and the National Institutes of Health because they didn't want the public to know. They had no evidence. They didn't know what theory was right. And they shut it down, and the media shut it down. The media and the government and those in medicine in the government did not want you to know. And then Biden, when he became president, did not want you to know what caused this. And 1 million Americans died, and they lied about it. They lied about it by saying you're a racist conspiracy theorist if you are proposing that there might be another theory.
Right.
And then they censored it.
Right.
And 1 million Americans died because of this, and no curiosity and no anger at the Chinese. If you showed any, it was racism.
And, you know, still today, reluctant to get to the answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be leading the call for the answers. Think about it. Their side was the one that was pushing for more shutdowns. They were over the top shutting down and regulating and spending at every level, but never wanted to get to the bottom of it. Does that not seem odd? The two dynamics of where the left was on COVID in their response, except for what caused it. Why is that? Why is that? If they had their way, we'd still all be working from home and wearing masks today.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Even USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey admits the weather patterns in the country over the past 3 weeks seem to be a broken record.
Storms coming into the West Coast, moving their way across the central and southern plains, then eventually into the Midwest and the East. With similar results, we've had the heavy snows across the far west, including California, severe weather and dust across the southern high plains, and then isolated tornadoes and winds moving into the mid-south and the lower Midwest, and even some late season wet snow as you move to the north.
And while similar weather is expected this week, Rippey notes it won't be as amplified and active as it has been in recent weeks.
We continue to see energy and storms moving ashore in the Pacific coast, and those systems, one at a time, will be marching their way across the country.
That includes events such as severe weather in the southern Great Plains and snow in the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report is made possible by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel and Citgo Lubricants.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, you got to relate this to you. This article just came out. Trump made me do it. Liberal media blames its dismissal of the lab leak on Trump. We'll get to this here. I mean, it's ludicrous. But this first. Study warns California officials about policies increasing price at the pump to $7 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
When studies are predicting $7 a gallon for gas in California, the state experts are warning legislators that anything they do to counteract alleged price gouging should be designed not to make it worse. We suggest the legislature clearly identify the problem it is trying to address. Identifying the problem is important because it can help focus policy actions towards strategy that most directly target the problem. Oh my God. Said Ross Brown, principal fiscal and policy analyst at California Legislative Analyst Office, in his key considerations presented to the Senate Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Communications. The recommendation comes as Governor Gavin Newsom embarks on formulating legislation to penalize petroleum refineries for what he deems as excess profits.
Hmm.
So it gets back to the same old thing. We're going to tax, gas prices are so high, we need to bring them down. So we're going to tax the oil companies, which will actually increase the cost of gasoline that then we can throw back and blame the gasoline or the oil companies on, and then continue the same cycle.
Right. We're going to bring costs down by adding to the costs.
Americans like to, this is great. Americans like to hold on to the myth that politicians are all powerful and all knowing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to gasoline prices, global influences on supply and demand are really the gremlin that determines prices. And high taxes in liberal states. Determine prices. And politicians who really only care about your vote would love you to think that they can control everything, but they can't do much over global fundamentals driving prices down or up, said the head of the petroleum analysis at GasBuddy.com. So there you go. I mean, they're talking about, again, taxing the oil companies. Obama did this. We remember when he was down in Houston having his rally back in early 2008, I think it was, Are you sick of high gasoline price? No, it was the summer because the gas prices skyrocketed.
Yeah, it was the summer of 2008. Yeah.
Are you sick of the high gas prices? Yeah. Do you want something done about it? Yeah. Well, if I become president, I'll put a windfall profit tax on all these oil companies. Yay! And we went, wow. We understand why liberals believe that the people that vote for them are idiots. Because he just asked you if your gas prices are too low, and then his solution was to...
Or too high.
Well,
you said
the gas prices were too high. I was trying to say that, do you want gas prices to be lower?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where I messed up. Thank you. Do you want gas prices to be lower? Yes. Okay, I'll enact a policy that will make them even higher. Yay! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's over and over again, the, you know, it because what they see is, oh, wait a minute. You know, their prices are high. This is our perfect time to go in and increase taxes. And we can do this across the board. Do it on the per gallon fuel tax. We can do it on the corporate tax. We can do a windfall profits tax. Man, we can cash in on this all day long. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Five hours a night and still not enough. Listen to our podcast available on the app and on our website, redeyeradioshow.com.
And he's Eric Carly and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I love this. This is just hilarious. Trump made me do it. This just Fox posted this. Brian Flood and Joseph Wilson and David Rutz from Fox News wrote this article. Trump made me do it. Liberal media blames his dismissal of lab leak theory on ex-president's xenophobia. That because Trump said it, there was no reason to investigate it.
All right.
Members of the media are now grasping at straws in order to excuse their dismissal of a lab leak theory in 2020, many of them pointing fingers at former President Trump. While many focus on the low confidence angle because the Energy Department isn't certain where COVID originated, some other agencies still favor the natural origin hypothesis. Others have suggested Trump and members of his administration were so vile and racist that the theory had to be dismissed out of hand. Yeah, that's it. Said Joe Concha from The Hill. Everyone has an excuse for their bias and their activism and their lack of logic. He told Fox News Digital, and when in doubt, break glass and blame Trump for everything. We had journalists and pundits and editorial boards who believed the Chinese Communist Party over Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, and the President of the United States, all because of their party affiliation, and there was an election, after all, here at home, Concha said. On ABC's The View, they said Trump unleashed xenophobia around the lab leak hypothesis time. Host Whoopi Goldberg, I love this, recently made excuses for comedian Jon Stewart, who famously embraced the lab leak theory in 2021 during the appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. We played that yesterday. Quote, Trump made it about Asian people, and I'm sure John Stewart didn't realize that's what was happening, because I'm sure he didn't know what was going on all over the country with Asian folks getting smacked and hit and people saying stuff to them about bringing the disease here. If you know who had not started with that, had he not made it about that, listen, this, that if he would have just said, listen, this might have come out of a lab, it would have been listened to a lot differently.
Right. If he had just said it differently, they would have listened to Trump.
Yes.
That's what she wants you to believe.
On MSNBC, one host insisted the lab leak theory was dismissed because it was being conflated with the right's anti-Fauci conspiracies. The simple reason why so many people weren't keen to discuss the lab leak theory is because it was originally conflated by the right with Chinese bioweapon conspiracies and continues to be conflated by the right with anti-Fauci conspiracies. Blame the conspiracy theorists. 538 founder Nate Silver, who is not a conservative Republican, mocked the tweet from MSNBC, saying, this is so refreshingly honest. The bad people thought the lab leak might be true. Therefore, as journalists, we couldn't be expected to actually evaluate the evidence for it.
Yeah.
And it's that simple. How many insane things does the left bring up every day that we cover and then analyze specifically to defeat the argument?
Well, we have a five-hour show, and we never seem to get it all in.
Right. I don't believe we have ever said for any insane thing, because you really can't do a show at that point, can you? Well, Biden said it. There's no reason discussing it.
Right.
Harris said it. There's no reason to discuss it.
Right.
Karine Jean-Pierre said it. No reason to discuss it.
Right.
You know, after what Biden did, after what Biden did with the Georgia election law, where he lied about it to inflame racial hatred based on a lie, well, then we won't discuss anything anymore. No, when he did that, we tore it apart piece by piece by piece. When Karine Jean-Pierre makes a statement that's ridiculous, we don't ignore it. We tell you it's stupid, but then we explain to you precisely why it's stupid or why it's a lie. Same thing with anybody on the left. We'll do it with anybody on the right. If they tell a lie, we'll explain to you why it's a lie and why it's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when the media went after DeSantis, implying that he was for the law that a Republican state representative in Florida came up with, that said anybody who, any blogger who writes about anybody in state government, including the governor, would have to basically register with the state. We said he's an idiot. And it's unconstitutional to begin with, but he's an idiot. We explained why it's unconstitutional. Government can't mandate that you register with them to write anything. And DeSantis, you know, came out, of course, and said, it's ridiculous. I wasn't for that, and I'm not for that whatsoever. But we do it constantly every single day.
Yeah.
And the left's trying to say, no, since Trump said it, we didn't decide to analyze it and find out whether it might be true or not. We didn't do our jobs, and we didn't, as we would say, anybody who comes out with a insane comment. For example, we view it's an insane comment for the president when he stated that we can run the entire country on solar and wind by 2035. It's insanity. Anybody knows it's insane. Who was it? What Democrat said it was insane lately? Remember we played the audio where they said, well, that's sort of insane on solar and wind. There was a conference going on.
And they said there's no way it's going to happen.
Yeah, it can't happen. It's insane. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it can't do it. We didn't sit there and just say, well, it's insane, so we're not going to discuss it. We discussed why it is insane.
Well, and we certainly didn't say, well, because this one person said it, we wouldn't even entertain it. All the more reason to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if
if we could disprove it, or we could point out what they need to do to prove it, then that's always important. But this lame excuse, oh, well, we didn't talk about it because Trump said it.
So what they're saying is the left, that Trump, that it was a conspiracy theory. It's a racist conspiracy theory, right? There's nothing at all. Well, then why didn't you debate that point with him? Why didn't you bury him? We always say that. Our goal in a debate is to bury you. And so the more absurd your comment, the more incentive from a debate point of view, from an arguing point of view, is let's bury them. Let's show the public how idiotic that statement was.
And are they now admitting that Trump was right? If Trump was talking about a lab leak or lab leak theory that it came from the Wuhan lab, and now everybody's pretty much joined in that equation, are they now admitting, oh, he was right all along?
He was right to bring it up.
Yep. Because I never heard him say the U.S. has definitive proof.
No.
Now, if he said that somewhere along the way,
he would be wrong.
Then that would have been incorrect for him to say.
Yes. But it's funny here because the media trend for blaming Trump for why some figures would embrace the possibility that the coronavirus accidentally leaked from the Chinese lab is nothing new. CNN's former boss, Jeff Zucker, would not even allow his network to chase down the lab leak story in the early months of the pandemic because he believed it was a Trump talking point. A CNN insider has said, quote, it's kind of crazy that we didn't chase it harder, end of quote, because any journalist knows that those are the things, that's when, come on, when you're in the arena of ideas, when you debate for a living, when your goal is to find the truth, if somebody says something that's absurd, and that's the reason you don't go after it, that goes against every instinct of every true journalist. Every true journalist will say, well, that's an absurd comment there. That's bizarre. That's a conspiracy theory.
Well,
let's bury that person.
That's the entire idea of with anybody who's ever had a debate with anybody else.
Right.
You know it's right for you to jump in and disprove them. And why didn't you do that? No, the fact is that everybody on their side wanted to shut down the talk about a lab leak.
And then here you have NBC's Chuck Todd also addressed the issue on Meet the Press in 2021, saying, for many, the lab leak theory got tangled up in politics and was conflated with one theory that the Chinese released the virus deliberately. Nope, that's bull. How do we know? Because we went back to February of 2020 when it was being debated, and Senator Tom Cotton said, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know. It could be this. It could be this. It could be this. We're looking at all the possibilities. And the left saying, well, no, because they said that it was a Chinese bioweapon and released from the lab. People combine the two. No, you combine the two because you didn't want to actually debate or go through and research and investigate all three possibilities.
They jumped on it.
Or a combination.
They jumped on it the moment Trump started talking about it, that anybody on the right started talking about it, and they went full on like they normally do to shut something down. And the problem with that is that you overreact with your emotion instead of entertaining all the ideas and having a discussion about it. They invested heavily in trying to make Donald Trump look like a fool.
And then here it is, Washington Post fact checker Glenn Kessler wrote, the Trump administration's messaging is often accompanied by anti-Chinese rhetoric that made it easier for skeptics to ignore its claims. No, it's the opposite. It shows that you're not a journalist, Glenn Kessler, because it would make you do the opposite. And as a fact checker, it makes you do the opposite.
Right.
If you view something as absurd coming from your political opposition, you go after them.
Yep.
With claws out. Kessler's colleague, Aaron Blake, wrote in 2021, The vaccine lab leak theory on China and the coronavirus, in which he defended reporters dismissing the Trump administration's claims that there was a high probability the virus originated from the lab, given everything we know about how Trump handled such things, caution and skepticism were invited. Well, that's fine. That's not what you did. That very much warranted caution and skepticism spilled over into some oversimplification. What you're saying is there are no journalists and you're a bunch of morons on the left, because if you don't like someone or they come up with an absurd theory, you're saying, oh, then we don't try to bury them with the facts. We just pretend that they're wrong and we really don't know whether they're wrong and we're being paid to be journalists. Shut up.
Being dismissive is not being cautious.
No.
Don't confuse the two.
Just amazing.
Because he makes it sound like there is this, it's all or nothing, because that's the way it does work with them on the left.
Nate Silver had it. This is so refreshingly honest. The bad people thought the lab leak might be true. Therefore, as journalists, we couldn't be expected to actually evaluate the evidence for it.
Exactly.
I'm amazed what they haven't come forward and said, we were just so triggered as journalists by what Trump said that we just couldn't do it. It was the triggering. We were so offended.
Oh, yeah. No, wait for it. Everything that he said was so disturbing that we couldn't even entertain it.
We were triggered. We were in the fetal position for the longest time.
Right.
We were so outraged.
We still are.
That we as journalists lost our capability of being journalists.
We still want to work from home.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, we told you yesterday about the massive protests over the last couple of days in France. I mean, some of the largest I've ever seen. Now, it was being reported differently from the unions, from the government, and there was a wide disparity. One said there was like 700, the union saying 700,000 people in Paris alone. And they said it was like 300,000, the government. But this is all because the government, they can't afford the pensions anymore. And so the Senate voted here in the last 12 hours to raise the retirement age by 2 years to 38. Okay. You and I were joking about that before.
Don't exaggerate.
They're going to a two-day work week, and you retire at 38. No.
That's right. They're doubling the workload.
Exactly. No, they voted to raise the retirement age by 2 years from 62 to 64. They can't afford it anymore. The conservative-dominated legislative body voted in favor of the decisive article to raise the retirement age by 201 to 115. Wow. They're rushing to meet the deadline of midnight Sunday to finalize the legislation.
Yeah. Well,
that's
a
reality.
Again, wait until we get to the point where we have to make cuts here in the U.S. It's not going to be good.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.